Afternoon, everybody. You're very quiet. Gosh, maybe the spirit is at work. Maybe I was at a function last night. I was talking to one of the youth mission team members, and they're actually a community kid, so they've grown up in community on the East Coast. And I'm always interested in finding out how they're finding their time in Perth. And I said to this young lady. That maybe might give something away, but anyway, I said to this young lady, I said to her, so how are you finding Perth, like the Perth community? And she said, there's one thing that I reckon jumps out at me as being significantly different. I'm thinking, oh yeah, I wonder what that might be, you know? And she said, the prophetic word. And I went, what? And she said, you guys take the prophetic word so seriously. And I said, what do you mean? She says, well, not only does everybody have to write down their prophetic word on a Sunday when they get a word from God, they have to write it down. Not only does it have to get discerned, it then gets sent somewhere and it gets put into a newsletter, and we're meant to pray about the prophetic word and then talk about it in our sharing group. And I'm going, oh gosh, does my sharing group do that? Anyway, so And I was thinking, my goodness. Anyway, so she was really caught up by how seriously the prophetic word impacts on the life of our community. So as I was having a drink with this young person last night, there were lots of other people, it wasn't just me and this young person, right? But as we were just sharing this time together, I just thought, that is a really powerful characteristic, don't you think? That we would take so seriously the words that God would speak to us. So this afternoon, let's take seriously the words that God speaks to us so that we can truly be a prophetic people. Not a pathetic people, a prophetic people, right? So we want to be a prophetic people this afternoon. So our musos are doing a great job in leading us into the heart of worship. So let's continue to worship God. But remember, when we come into the presence of God, God wants to speak to us. All right? He'll do something with us. So let's continue to allow God to speak into our lives. Thanks, musos.
is without border. Let me walk upon the water. Wherever you will call me, take me deeper than my faith could ever wander. And my faith will be made stronger in the presence of my Savior. Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters. Wherever you will call me, take me deeper than my feet could ever wander. And my faith will be made stronger in the presence of my Savior. Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters. Wherever you will call me, take me deeper than my feet could ever wander. And my faith will be made stronger in the presence of my Savior. Oh, my Savior, my Savior.
Oh,
make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. The Lord bless you and keep you. Make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. Lord, turn his face toward you and give you peace.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. We sing.
And the children, and the children, and his presence.
word that we're going to invite forward. Actually, we've got two, so let's pay attention to what the Lord might be saying to us.
I was calling out to God for ethical leadership in our country, and this was what I heard in prayer. Why do you ask for what you already have? Pray instead that those among you who already have this calling be convicted of it. You already have in your midst an Esther, a Paul, a Peter, a Ruth, a David, a Mary Magdalene. My children, you have all you need at your disposal. Rise with power. Rise with confidence. Rise with conviction. You were created for a time like this.
There were words in today's gospel that really I felt that in those words that Jesus is really speaking to us as a community. And in the gospel, Jesus says, the hour is coming and is now here when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father seeks such as these to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. My sense was that the Lord is calling us as my charismatic community, worship in the spirit. I had a second word, which is more of a word of knowledge and also comes from today's gospel. It was a sense that for those in our community who feel that maybe at this time in their life, they just need to receive or to be fed. And in today's gospel, Jesus says this: my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to complete his work. Jesus is asking you to walk in his footsteps. It is in giving that you will receive.
So some pretty strong prophetic word there, right? So who in this room feels like they're a Mary Magdalene or an Esther? Who in this room feels like they're a Paul or a Peter? God's calling is for us to actually be active in the leadership that we display in our environments, in our workplaces, in our families. And then we hear about worshiping in spirit and in truth. So, do we feel like we're worshiping in the spirit? Do we feel like we're in the truth? And the truth, of course, is when Jesus says about himself, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Are we worshiping as if Jesus is right here, where two or three are gathered in his name? He is there. So there's some really powerful sentiments being expressed through those prophetic words. Even more powerful, I think, is actually the painting that's behind me that John Harris has just released today, like it's launched, like this ship in the storm, right? So for us to see, don't you think it's a beautiful painting? As I'm looking at it this afternoon in my praise time, in the worship time that we have collaboratively here together, I'm thinking of, you know, do we trust that Jesus is in the center of every storm that we experience? In every tension, in every crisis, in every stressful moment, do we trust that Jesus has got it? And that, in fact, Jesus has got it in and through us. So that when we raise our hands, we calm the storms. Not through our power, but through the Spirit that He gives to us to bring about His presence in a powerful way. So perhaps if you haven't noticed the painting already, and we've got about 5 or 6 people online, so I'm going to show the people online the painting in a second. I'm going to take the phone over and I'm going to show them the painting. But for the rest of us, right, what is God saying to us in the prophetic word and in the prophetic image that we see here before us? All right, let's continue to praise the Lord. You guys are doing a great job. God bless you.
Oh,
If you are, where you belong. mark my cornerstone.
Blood of Jesus Christ.
Sing alleluia, Christ is risen. Say, what a Savior, oh, what a Savior. Isn't he wonderful? Sing alleluia, Christ is risen. Bow down before him, for he is Lord of all. Sing alleluia, Christ is risen.
Oh, what a Savior.
Oh, what a Savior.
One prophetic word, maybe a couple. So we'll just invite them to come forward.
So in the new house that we've moved into, there's this pool, and the pool has slowly been turning green, which is not great. But I've decided I'm going to fix it and turn it around. And eventually, like, all this stuff, all the sediment in the water kind of dropped to the floor. And it looked, the water looked clean. The pool definitely wasn't. And so on my mission to fix it, I spoke to Tim a bit, and he was like, what we have to do is brush it all off, get all of the sediment at the bottom of the pool into the water, so when we pour chemicals into it, it'll all mix around. And doing this really frustrated me, because it made the pool go from looking kind of dirty to looking like a swamp. Like, mixing this stuff around, brushing it off the floor, I was just so upset by it for some reason. Like, it killed me. And that, like, feeling and thought just came back to me during praise, and I was like, Lord, like, I don't want to feel this right now. Like, what's going on? And I guess it just came back to a call to trust. And quite often when we give our troubles, our messes, our difficulties over to the Lord, things seem to kind of get a little bit messy, like when we first give it over. And it doesn't get easier straight away. And sometimes we get really frustrated by what looks like the result. And if anything, sometimes it looks like it's worse. But the call or the response back that I was, when I was praying was, do you trust me? And can you trust me that I know what I'm doing and that this is for the good?
Okay. So, I think the Lord has been speaking to us a fair bit today about being at the center of all the stuff that goes on in our lives, the storms and the algae too in our lives, right? The stuff that stirs up in the midst of who we are, and we just need the Lord just to really come in, do his thing and work within us. And I just really felt yesterday the leaders of the area council, the branch council, the singles body leaders, they all got together, the coordinators, they all got together and they asked the Lord for which direction he wants us to go. And they came up with a bit of a catch cry for the year, for this year. And I thought it was a really good catch cry. So it goes something like this. So if I get this wrong, Elijah, you just come back with me, right? So I think it went something like this because I was in another room and then they told me about it afterwards, right? So through him, in us, to others. Is that right? Right? So through him, in us, to others. And I think that's pretty powerful. That this year we'll focus on the fact that we can't do this in our own strength. We can't stop the waves in our own strength. But through Christ working in us, he's going to impact in the world in which we live. He's going to impact through us to the people around us. And we're going to be attentive this year. We're going to see what God wants to do through those words, which has come through a dissection of the prophetic word over the last quarter of the year, so over the summer period, that somehow the Lord seems to be working so that we remember that we need to call on him to work us. But it's not for our benefit. It's for the benefit of those around us. And I think that's pretty powerful. So as we gather here today, and as we continue in our time together, what is the Lord saying to us so that we can be a blessing in the world in which we live? And I just want to thank Libby for being a blessing in my life this afternoon because she came to my rescue. So Libby, thanks so much. Also want to thank the Musos because the Musos, you did a great job in breaking open our hearts today. Right, it was awesome. I don't think we've got any visitors except for... now, did I get it right? Andrea? Andrea, who's Stefan and Serena's cousin. So, welcome, cuz. It's great to have you here. So, awesome that you could join us. So, welcome. We are going to go through some of the notices, though, now. And we've got online, just so everybody knows, we've got Mejay online, we've got Linda, we've got Moses... we have Mark Smokovich. I think I might have missed somebody, but they probably let me know soon. So they're all online. Don't go anywhere, you guys, because we're going to sing birthdays.
Sam.
they're not very confident about that. But anyway, okay, let's keep going. So let's pray the prayer of Jabez, because we want to impact on the world in which we live, right? So we want God to expand our territory. So let's pray it together. Oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my territory, that your hand would be with me and that you would keep me from evil and I may be free from harm. So, Peter Ratajak, just in case you didn't know, you got a birthday coming this week. right? And Adam Zandrini, who's not here, so make sure you guys get on the text, right? Adam Zandrini, his birthday, I think he turns 18 or 17. He's playing for the greatest team ever, buddy, right? The black and whites, man, right? And Sophie Brennan, so we've got to get these texts ready because the 14th of March, right? So Adam Zandrini and Sophie, who's living in Melbourne at the moment. Is that right, Melbourne? Did I get that right? Melbourne, right. So we've got to get ready to text her. And then we've got Sam Clare, who's in Sydney studying. So we've got to send him a message on the 17th of March. But don't forget the others, right? Sharon, Marie, Stephen Archer and Matilda Brennan. They also celebrate birthdays. So, Peter, welcome, buddy. Thanks for coming. We can see you.
It's a
see, Peter was pretty keen not to get up the front, but to get back to his seat. So good on you, Peter. Thanks so much, buddy. So some of the notices, there are a couple of things that I do have to mention. So it's Kevin and Robin's wedding anniversary. Is that today? No, tomorrow. So Kevin and Robin celebrate their wedding anniversary tomorrow. They're not here today. Robin's not that well, and Kevin is down south. So if we could just, over east, that's right, Canberra. He's in, actually, last I saw he was in New South Wales, Canberra, right? So Kevin's away. We don't have our little square machine today. We forgot the square. So if you want to make your tithing or contributions, if you could take a photo, maybe that would be great. Our Life in the Spirit, if you could pray for the 7 or 8 people who are doing the Life in the Spirit seminar with us, through the Alpha course, that would be really great if you could. Hold them up in prayer. We'll just keep going because the youth mission team out here. Okay, just a couple of things about the Passion Play. So the Passion Play, as you know, is held, we do a Saturday in Fremantle, right? And that's normally Holy Saturday. So this, after last year, you would have, maybe those people who were there with us, if you haven't been to the Passion Play, by the way, really encourage you to come down to Fremantle. We do like a bit of a flash mob and then do about a 30-minute flash mob. It's an amazing Passion Play. But this year, we can't do it on Holy Saturday. So the Fremantle Council has said to us, we can't do Holy Saturday, but we can do the Saturday before. So that's on the 1st of April, right? So this mucks us up a little bit because we only found this out on Friday afternoon. So that you're just aware of that. If you want to be involved in it, just give Yami a call and she will let you know what part you can play. Okay. The folks who are, I think we're pretty settled. Is there anybody that's not settled with World Youth Day yet? Did you want to say something about it, Elijah?
Yeah, with World Youth Day, it says regos are closed tomorrow. So if you're not registered yet, definitely make sure you get onto that ASAP. Yeah, there's a possibility that we might be extending it a week, but I'll let you know if that's the case. But if you can get onto it as soon as possible, that would be awesome. That way we can start locking in numbers and accommodation and that sort of stuff.
Okay. Now... So we've had Kim Krishnan, part of our area, for the last 2 years, right? Now, we haven't seen Kim over the last probably 2 months, simply because, as she and Paul They're going to be moving into Paul's place. That hasn't happened yet, of course, right? But they're going to be moving into Paul's place, which is part of the central area. So Kim has been transitioning into the central location, right, over the last couple of months. But they get married on Saturday. So it's pretty exciting for Paul and for Kim. And they just wanted everybody to know that you are more than welcome if you want to take a day trip or do a couple of days in Margaret River and pop in and see the wedding, right? So that is happening on Saturday morning at the Catholic Church, St. Thomas More Church in Margaret River, and it's at 11 a.m. They are live streaming it. I didn't know that. There you go. So live stream will be available too. Okay. Great, we've got great information coming forth. Okay, so we started our Formation 2 yesterday. So these are the dates for Formation 2, but because the Passion Play has now been moved to the 1st of April, the second Formation session for first term will probably go back to the week after Easter. Okay, so that'll probably be the 15th of April, which is going to be important because the next slide... Is it the next one? Keep going, and we'll come back to that. That slide there. So the disciples, so all the disciples in the community, we're actually going to have a formation morning for disciples. It was going to be the 1st of April. So now we'll push that back probably to the 15th of April. Okay? So if you could go back one there, Libby. So this is for the women. So on the 22nd of March, 2 weeks' time, at the Greenwood Parish Centre for all the women in the north. You're going to meet from 7:30 to 9:30. Does people have to bring anything? Okay, if you could bring a plate of food and maybe a gold coin donation because we're going to pay the parish for the use of the hall there, okay? Some of the youth groups that are happening, so there's 5 tonight, 4 on Friday, so there's quite a few. Mini golf, yes you can.
There have been a couple of changes to this one as well, so we're going to be meeting at, I believe it is 6:30 instead of 6:45, let me double check that quickly. But we're not going to be meeting at Wembley Golf Course tomorrow night. Instead, we're going to be at Holy Moly in Carinup. So if you want to come to that one, we're meeting at Holy Moly in Carinup. It's staying 6:45. So 6:45, Holy Moly, Carinup instead of Wembley.
So that's for all the young adults. And then for all the adults who want to actually play golf, go to Wembley. Nobody will come with me then. Okay. All right. So I stand. There's some information there on the 14th. 14th to the 16th of April, right? Now, the picnic. This is why I'm dressed like this, you guys, right? Because I'm ready for the picnic. So straight after the gathering, there'll be no refreshments here, right? No refreshments. We're going to pack down this place in record quick time, right? Record quick time. Half of us will probably go get some fast food from across the road there. The other half of us will get set up on the picnic oval, which is the school oval, just around the corner here, right? So we can get everybody ready to have like a shared meal type thing, and we can have a picnic time and everybody can kick around a ball, or Libby will bump me out of the way when we're playing footy or something, right? So we'll hang out down at the picnic area, down at the school oval, right? But we have to get all together to make sure we clean this place down really quick. All right, so I think that's it for the notices. Okay. So, can you please fill me in? Last week, Derek Boylan gave an awesome talk, but we didn't record it. So I don't know what Derek spoke about. Keith doesn't know what Derek spoke about because he wasn't here, right? So those people who were here, what can you remember?
Yeah.
Okay. I think that's pretty close to what Marty Firth told me. Joseph. And it's about the body, right? So it was communal, is the other thing that Marty Firth was telling me about from last week, right? Which I thought was really interesting because I thought that fitted into the catch cry that has been developed for this year, right? And so I think that's pretty cool. What we've got to do this afternoon, and that was based on trying to get our heads around this Lenten experience that we're going through. Right, so we've asked this afternoon for four people to share what is happening to them this Lent that is drawing them closer to God. Right, so our hope is that we're going to hear differences in the way that we approach Lent, but hopefully what those differences do is draw us into union with God more powerfully. And then through that, hopefully, we can impact on the world in which we live. So we've asked a range of people. So Sarah Radijak, we're going to ask if she wouldn't mind coming forward to share with us first. So Sarah.
Hello. Oh, butt my teeth in the microphone. I loved this because Uncle Murray messaged me a week ago being like, are you okay to talk about Lent and stuff on the 12th? And I was like, yes, excellent. I love that I was noticed a whole week in advance. Then I completely forgot about it until literally this morning when you messaged me again. And I was like, are you still good? And I was like, oh, yes, that's right. I got to do it. Yes, I'm all good. But pretty much I was just asked to share about my Lenten experience and how that's really aided my faith journey and just helped me with my relationship with God. So I'll give you a little snapshot, a little rundown. Lent, my month's been really, really intentional because last year's mission team, and I think it was just so chaotic and there was so much going on that it's I never really got around to actually giving up anything in particular or taking up some Lenten fasts or anything because everything was just so chaotic and you already give so much, so I was kind of doing whatever. But this year I kind of really wanted to focus on Lent as I wanted to give up the things that was being a barrier between me and God. So I was kind of asking myself of being okay, what are the things that I have in my life that are not necessarily bad, but are things I've probably taken on as part of my personality or as part of my identity? Because something I've been trying to do is just renew my identity in Christ. It's something I've been wanting to do for a while. I'm still working on it, going to work on it for the rest of my life. But yeah, step one, Lent. Ooh. A couple things that I gave up was I gave up coffee. I know, thanks Jenny, she understands. I had a coffee this morning and it was the best thing I ever tasted. It was crazy. Reason being though is because a lot of my friends associate me with someone that really loves coffee. I always have, always will. And I realized that it's is coffee a part of who Sarah is, or is that just something I've taken on for so long and associated myself with? And is it really of me? I've also given up listening to music. That is a game changer because I'm not good with sitting with myself in silence. If I'm getting dressed, if I'm cooking, going for a walk, exercising, just literally sitting in my room, cleaning, whatever, I've got music on in the background to just kind of help me. Driving especially, I love music. Again, that's not a bad thing, but I'm a very musical person. And because I associated everything I did around music or listening to it, I was like, is that actually really healthy? Can I actually sit with myself in silence? So maybe I just got to take it away altogether. What else did I take? I also took away social media, the classic, but this time around it's deleted the apps because I know that I would just spend hours and hours scrolling, looking at things where I was just I could be spending my time with something so much more, so much better. My time management is, I was going to say SH, but crapola, as Dad says, because I'm just on social media all the time. These things, taking them away, benefited me in so many ways. So coffee, I've realized that it's like, yeah, as soon as I would mention it to people, they'd be like, oh my gosh, Sarah, that must be so hard for you. It's actually not the hardest thing in the world. I just have a tea. Tea also has caffeine and tea is lit. but it's like, it's actually not like a big deal. And I was like, oh, I didn't realize that so many people would think that it would be such a difficult thing for me. Like, it's like coffee is not who Sarah is. Not listening to music, what I've done instead is it's just changed the game. I listen to the podcast, so many podcasts, or I just try and drive with, like, you know, music. If someone else is in the car, I don't turn on music for the background. I just turn off the radio and we're like, let's have a conversation. And the amount of chats I've had with people, grown in deeper relationships with others, has been so fruitful and amazing. And I've gotten into these particular podcasts that are just so cool. I'll give you a list, and if you want more details on them, you can ask me later. But Pints with Aquinas, there's one called Lust is Boring by Jason Everett, Sunday Homilies with Father Mike Schmitz. There are so many good Catholic podcasts that you can find on Spotify, on YouTube, on wherever. And they just have so many good Catholic formations, and they just discuss so many topics that I'm like, I needed to know this way sooner than I do. It just like cemented so much of my faith, which is awesome. And I love listening to podcasts so much. They're actually so good. And just listening to someone, it's like more educating. I feel like I'm getting smarter. My brain is getting bigger. It's very cool. Social media is so good. I don't have to worry about what people are posting. I don't have to worry about what I look like in pictures. I don't have to, I don't know, worry about what's up to date. I can like just still hang out with people. Like, my life doesn't revolve around what others really perceive of me or what I perceive of others through a digital screen. And it's just freed up so much time. And now I've actually been able to spend mornings like in prayer, having a tea, journaling, reading. I love reading, but I never get around to it. I watch a lot of TV shows or videos on YouTube, but now it's like not so much. But yeah, so all those things have just really helped me realize that it's like, oh, my identity first and foremost is always going to be in Christ first. And if there are those things that are holding me back that I'm like, okay, but what if this is me? Then I just got to strip it away for 40 days and then realize that it's like, oh, I actually don't need it to survive. Like, I don't need this. What I need is to rely on God and trust in Him more. And my relationship has grown a lot deeper because of that. That's I think, yeah, that's all. Thank you for coming to my TED Talk.
And I love that TED Talk. That was awesome. Well done. Okay. So we might go then from Sarah to Chris Brennan. So Chris, would you mind coming forward and just sharing with us your thoughts?
Sarah, I'm really, thank you for sharing. I'm really glad that you got a week's notice, but remember today. No, Mara is a good man. Guys, I really love Lent, and I really love fasting, like I like migraines. I mean, Lent is, I don't know about you, but I don't really love fasting, you know? Giving alms, you know? You know, it's hard to give away. It's hard to get up and pray every day, you know. And yet, for me, it's a bit like running. Running really hurts, but it's so good for you, you know. And Lent, really, it can really hurt. And yet, you know, it's good for you. But the way I sort of see Lent is like, you know, when you've got, I don't know about you, but you've had a little child say, hey, can I wash the car? And you think, oh, okay. And then you go and, you know, clean the car, get out the vacuum cleaner, and you get out the extension cord for them, and you help them, and then you get a bucket, and they can put all the gear in, and then you get out the bucket for them to wash, and they can't wash the top, so you wash the top, and then you've got to put away the stuff, and they walk off, and then you put away the vacuum cleaner, you put away the extension cord, and then you give them $10 for washing the car, you know? I think Lent, for me, is a bit like that, is that, you know, if I think I'm going to do something for God, He just does it all. Like, the grace is just so amazing. Like, whatever I try to do myself, I can't do. But during Lent, you know, I try to do some things that I normally can't do. But it just gives the grace to do that. And I'm really blown away by that, because I look at my dad, and he's so strong, and his dad, and I'm not putting myself down, but I just know how weak I am. I don't know about you, but I can give in to any temptation pretty quickly, you know. And you know, I like to pray early in the morning, but when that alarm goes off, you know, like, I don't know about you, but it's really hard to get up. So I've stopped getting up. I just slide down onto the floor, slide down. And then when I'm on the floor again, I think, okay, I'll get to four, you know, all fours. Now pull myself up, because it's too hard to get up. So I have to go down first. And then once I'm out of bed, it's too uncomfortable. So then I think I might as well get up now, you know. But I have found having that regular time, saying, just, you know, on those words, loving God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength, I'm thinking, okay, if God can carry the cross for me, I can get up. I can get up each day and pray. And like running, it's so hard, and yet the blessings are so good. The other thing that I've been trying is, in English, you know, we say I love you, and it can be, it's pretty a bit cliche, you know, I love you, I love you. I can say to Henry, I love you. And if Madge's watching, I'm a bit embarrassed. But if I said to Henry, je t'aime mon petit chou-fleur, you know, it means in French, I love you, my little cauliflower, you know, like it's something different, you know. And so with God, you know, we say, our Father art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. So I've been trying to learn to say the Our Father and Hail Mary in French. And it's really slowing me down, you know. It's really, and it, instead of just saying something so quick and, but just really slowing down and enjoying that. I use the words, I don't go to Mass every day. I know some people are daily Mass goers. I don't say I can't get to Mass, because I could. I mean, in my parish, with 6 a.m. and 9 a.m. But I do the daily readings every day, and the Divine Office in the morning. Not the early one, not the 3 a.m. one, the 6 a.m. one. So use them online. And I'm really finding them really wonderful. I know many people here probably go to daily Mass, but I find once I leave the house and into the traffic, I find that it's a bit difficult. So I like to just have that quiet time at home. I think what challenged me is when I think it's difficult to get out of bed, that God says, I want quality time with you. You know, the love languages, you know, quality time, gift giving, words of affirmation, gifts of service and physical touch. It's not that I'm going to give him quality time. Just reversing it, he's saying, I want to spend time with you. And that's really humbling to think that, wow, God wants to spend time with me. And if I don't turn up, that this is the way he loves me. I mean, he could have loved me any other way. Is that my 5 minutes? Beautiful. Yeah, plus, thanks. Make it 30. But the way he's loved me, he says, Chris, I'm going to love you. You know, we love our children differently. He's loved me. He says, I'm going to give you a Catholic community. And this land, it's been really, you know, I'm going to love you by bringing you into a Catholic community. That's my way of loving. Now, he could have loved me by putting me in a nice Swiss valley or the French Alps, but he says Marengaroo and Hocking is the way I'm going to love you. And that's really beautiful, you know. And finally, which is interesting, because Sarah said this, throughout the day, you know, just saying like, where's Wally? You know, like, where's Wally? You've got to find one. I say, and I don't know if you've seen Interstellar, it's a bit weird, that they're trying to communicate from the other side. And I sort of feel that God is always trying to speak to us, like every day, always trying to speak. And the other day, I watched a YouTube about being violent, the science. And then I thought, and I went to work and eat after a table, the front to it's just silence is golden. And it was on about the mint scandal. It was like, silence is gone. Okay, silence. And then, Father, just thinking here. I was, where is it? Father Padre Pio said, you know, don't share, but just go into the silence. There was one other, oh, I know what it was. It was on, I'm trying to read my writing here. It was Sunshine FM that night. There was a guy on the radio, and he says, what I've been doing lately is entering into the silence. And I think, wow, God is just calling me in this Lent just to find time to be silent and to speak less and enter into the silence. That's how he's loving me. Thank you.
Okay, so, gee, Chris, you're really tall. So we'll move from Sarah and Chris, and now we'll go to Gabriella, because we haven't heard from Gabriella before, so we're going to hear from Gabriella. So here we go.
So my favorite meditative mantra for last few weeks, and actually which helps me through Lent, is Jesus, I surrender myself and my family to you. Take care of everything. Amen. So that's my biggest challenge through the Lent, to learn how to surrender, to trust and let go of my will. So the 3 weeks passed. Probably I could have done much more, but the good news is we've got another four. Even greater news is it's not about doing, but it's about being. So for me, I want to learn to be less selfish, love more. It starts with me, with my personal journey. It starts with my connection with God, but that's the start point, because the next is it all spreads to my husband, my kids, and my community. So surrendering and learning, to want less to be loved, to want less to be seen, appreciated, but actually to love more unconditionally, without expectation. And you know what I think, when I think about Lent, the L-E-N-T, I was lying last night, not able to sleep, thank you very much, and I had few great ideas, which I should have got up and actually write them down, but I thought maybe I should actually sleep. But I was able to write them in the morning. So L stands for me to love more, listen more, especially to God, but also to other people, to tune in. E stands for encounter God in everything I do. And those words about surrender, I'm trying to bring them in every single day, every single moment, when I get angry at my kids, when something pisses me off, or when I don't have the strength to do what I'm supposed to do. Really encounter God in every single thing I do. N stands for nurturing, but nurturing others along their journey. So again, it's not about me, it's actually loving others and seeing others and trying to really tune in what someone may need from me. And God gives me that because I can be a channel. T is testify Jesus' love by my life. It just came to me. So I can be an example. I don't have to do. I can just be. And yesterday, Mario said about that we all are chosen, that God chose us, not we chose him. So I am chosen, and so is every one of you here. And this one actually blows my mind because it changes my perspective of faith. And we are called to be missionaries of his love. And you know what, when I heard today's psalm, which actually I first heard it when I woke up, I had this, if today you hear his voice, harden not your heart And today I was sitting in a church and this psalm was spoken. So I was like, that is actually something, because I heard it during the night when I couldn't sleep. And that's what I think. God is calling us every single day and we just have to be and open ourselves. So that's my challenge for this Lent, that is not about me. It's all about choosing Him consciously every single day and making sure that actually my will is kind of in union with Him. And that was from yesterday, which actually really got me as well. So this surrender is very hard, especially when you're a kind of controlling person and you want to control things and everything around. And sometimes I'm thinking, you know, really this or that? So surrender is letting go and letting Him be in everything. And last thing that I want to share is this song that we sang actually last Sunday in our church. Purify my heart, let me be as gold and precious silver. I choose to be holy, and I'm ready to do your will. That is greatest challenge for me for this Lent, ready to do your will, because sometimes I think I know better. At the moment I turn my eyes to Him, and it's all about today, that He is the living water, and He really is a living water, everything falls into place. Things fall into place, suddenly I have more willingness, more motivation, more energy, everything within me. And I turn eyes on Him and let Him be, stirring everything in me. And words from today's song, I wrote it down straight away. I give it all to you, God, trusting that you will make something beautiful out of me. I believe God wants to make something beautiful out of all of us, but we just need to let him do the work. So, okay, we've got 4 more weeks. So if you want to give up something, let me just share with you something from my fridge. Give up worry, trust in the Lord. Give up complaining, focus on gratitude. Give up pessimism, become an optimist. Give up harsh judgments, think kind thoughts, especially about others. Give up discouragement, be full of hope. Give up bitterness, turn to forgiveness. Give up hatred, return good for evil. Give pettiness, become mature. It's from last, grow up. Give up gloom, see beauty around you. Give up negativism and be positive. Give anger, be more patient, be more loving. Give up jealousy, pray for trust and surrender. Give up gossiping, control your tongue. Give up sin, turn to virtue. Give up giving up, hang in there. Thank you very much.
Okay. So we're really blessed, aren't we, by the gift of each other. And we probably could go on and on and on, but we've only got time for one more. So I've asked Elijah whether he would come up. So have you noticed we've gone young, mature? Mature.
Sorry, Sarah, you're not mature. So one of my commitments that I made for Lent this year was to kind of return to the daily readings every day. And I kind of got punched in the face on Ash Wednesday. So right at the beginning by the readings there. I think one theme that just came out so strongly for me was that of a broken heart. So there are a couple of readings from there. We got Joel 12 to 13, and also Psalm 51, which was all over the place in the first week of Lent. But specifically from Psalm 51, it's kind of all about asking God for like cleansing and forgiveness of our sins. But the bit that stood out to me was Verses 15 to 17, which says, O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall flow forth your, shall show forth your praise. For you take no delight in sacrifice. Were I to give you a burnt offering, you would not be pleased. The sacrifice acceptable to God is a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. O God, you will not despise. Joel as well, Joel chapter 2, verse 12 to 13 says, yet even now, says the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning, and tear your hearts and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in mercy, and repents of evil. I think particularly on like Psalm 51, what really hit me kind of in terms of like what it means to have like a broken heart is I've always kind of, whenever I've heard that or read that, I've always kind of thought of a broken heart as like all of like the sin and the brokenness inside of me, right? Like that, like, you know, I'm not a perfect person. And so offering that to God, like that's what God wants in this time of Lent, is like for me to offer all of that to him. But I don't know, I think just seeing in the verse just before that, it says, you take no delight in sacrifice. If I had to give you a burnt offering, you would not be pleased. And this is where the Bible college in me kind of comes out, which is that, like, for the Jewish people at that time, like a burnt offering, kind of that, like the consequences of sin was death. And so the meaning of a burnt offering for the Jews was kind of, we sacrifice an animal in our place and then we're kind of okay. It's kind of, in a nutshell, that's what a burnt offering was. And that's where kind of a lot of the symbolism, the beauty of Christ's offering being like the one sacrifice for all time, that Christ sacrificed himself so that we no longer have to die, like, that comes from that kind of symbolism behind that burnt offering. So to offer God my brokenness and my sin, that kind of is really what a burnt offering is doing for the Jews anyway. And kind of when that hit me in my prayer, I just came to a very different understanding of what it means to have a broken heart when it comes to like loving God. And that is just in a very almost romantic sense, that actually a broken heart happens when I lose somebody that I love. Whether that's like a loved one who passes away, somebody who you're in a romantic relationship with, who breaks up with you, like whether it's even just friendship, like somebody you love as a friend who doesn't want to be a friend anymore, or who you've hurt and they don't want to like kind of hang out with you anymore, who you drift away from. And that kind of a broken heart hurts. Like that's like a whole nother level of just having a broken heart. When it comes to, yeah, just like ever, like with it is like this kind of really intense sort of grief, like this mourning that comes with it, like a longing to be reunited with a person who you've lost. And I think just kind of translating that into my relationship with God, that like when I sin, when I do wrong, when I do things that hurt my relationship with God, that separates me from him. And do I love God enough that that actually breaks my heart? Do I love God enough that my response to that is actually like a real grief and a longing to be reunited with him? And I think again, like it's echoed in Joel where, he's talking about how like, don't tear your, like garments, rather tear your heart. Like that, Joel's calling for the Israelites to kind of return to God, like return to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping and with mourning, tear your hearts and not your garments. And I think just like that, like how am I loving God in a way this Lent where I'm actually becoming aware of like how like my actions impact my relationship with him? And does that break my heart? Do I love him enough that that breaks my heart to a point where I long to be reunited with him, like that I'd do anything to be reunited with him? And I think kind of coming off the back of that, just into the rest of Lent and the rest of kind of my journey so far throughout Lent, just really the reminder then that like throughout the readings of God's love and God's mercy and God's compassion, that like pretty much every single day is some prophet saying like, return to me, please, like come back. And Jesus reminding us of like, actually this is how we do this. Like return to God, like love God, love the people around you. That's how you return to God. And just becoming just generally more conscious of the way that I am towards other people, the way that I interact with other people, being more intentional about the time that I put aside for God, like I'm returning to God in that way, I think. And even just like in my fasting, learning to really do it like with an intention that, God, I'm making room for you here. Like, God, I'm not enough. Like, I'm not doing this because I think that like my sacrifice will do anything like to redeem me and what I've done, but I'm doing it because I know that I want more of you. And I want you to come and fill the space that this thing has occupied in my life. And yeah, I don't know, just like over the course of the time so far, at least, just coming to a real like love of God, like with a broken heart, and learning what that means, and learning actually the pain that my sin brings to God, but also like learning to feel that pain myself because I love God that much as well. Yeah, so that's kind of the journey that I've been through this Lent.
Okay, so that's, we're just about halfway through Lent, right? And so as we've journeyed through this period of time, have we come to a place where we've been really intentional about what it is that we want God to know or to experience through the gift of who we are? Because that's actually what we are. We're a gift that God has given, and we're his instrument, and we want to be very conscious that he is our creator, and through whatever it is that we're thinking about, the things that we're doing, the things that we're not doing during this Lenten experience, that it's all about the creator, all about God, so that we can continue to be the instrument that is supposed to do something in the world in which we live. We're supposed to do something that is to bless this place. And I just want to maybe finish off with, I love the fact that Chris said to us that God has blessed us enough so that Chris is in Merangaroo. Right? God has loved Chris enough that he's placed him into Merangaroo. I'm blessed enough that I find myself with brothers and sisters in my life who, for whatever it is, something about my interactions with you, do something. Justice Goodrick, can I just say to you, right? Justice raised a question, and it was about fasting on Fridays. Now, we all know that we don't eat meat on Fridays, right? So that's really... don't eat meat on Fridays during Lent, right? But because of Justice and Moses, they've actually led me to go and discern, because actually in canon law, Moses and Justice found out that actually we're supposed to be penitential every Friday of the year. We're supposed to not eat meat on every Friday. Now, I'm trying to work out how come, for the first time, I'm hearing this. Like, what? Is it because perhaps the Australian bishop somewhere along the line said we didn't have to eat meat, that we didn't have to fast from meat all the way through the year? So I'm going to go and do my research. I'm trying to find out why this is new to me, when actually in canon law we're supposed to be penitential every Friday of the year. So, except for solemnities, right? Because next Friday is a solemnity. Did you know that? So St. Patrick's Day, right? So you don't fast on those solemnities, everybody. You don't fast on solemnities, right? Because they're great feast days. We're supposed to rejoice because God has done something in the life of a saint that is supposed to see that we too can be elevated in holiness, right? So we don't fast then. But see how we gift each other, how we challenge one another, and how we encourage one another. So thank you to Gabriella. Thank you to Sarah. Thank you to Chris and to Elijah. They're just snippets, that's not the right word, tidbits that have helped us in our journey through Lent. Let's continue to bless each other as we go through this period of Lent. Okay, so... thanks to all those people online. Great to have you here today. And let's pack up, clean up, and let's get out of here so we can get down to our pick. All right? God bless you, everybody.